In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel this morning, the feeding of the 5,000, is the only miracle recorded in all four gospels, a fact that speaks loudly to its importance to the early church. It is an event which is reminiscent of the manna in the wilderness. Like Moses, Jesus has crossed over the water into the wilderness. And like Moses, he is surrounded by hungry people. It's also a Eucharistic story. In John's gospel, that's the primary meaning of it. But Matthew also, in his telling of the story, brings to the fore some clear Eucharistic overtones, using many of the same phrases to describe both Jesus' actions here and at the Last Supper. Here, as in the Last Supper, Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it. But perhaps more important, the feeding of the 5,000 is a story of compassion. It begins with Jesus wanting to be alone, to have some time out, because he's just heard of the death of John the Baptist, and possibly also that Herod has been wondering if he, Jesus, was John the Baptist come back to life. In that circumstance, Herod might well conclude that it would be necessary to redo the deed. Jesus needed some time alone, time to grieve, time to heal, time to prepare. But the crowd arrives and interrupts his solitude. Yet he is not angry. There's no muttering about the inconvenience of it all. Instead, he has compassion on them and heals their sick. Jesus feels compassion, but his disciples feel concern. When it's late and they're hungry themselves, they can imagine the misery that awaits the crowd unless someone takes action. They come to Jesus and state the obvious. This is his deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away and let them buy food for themselves. They assume that Jesus is so caught up in ministry that he's failed to notice the fading sunlight. They feel a responsibility to bring him back to reality, to prompt him to act sensibly. The disciples are concerned for the crowds, and they're also concerned for Jesus. A crowd can quickly become a mob if not managed properly. And even if things don't go that far, the good that Jesus has generated will dissipate if the crowd goes away hungry. It must have come as something as a shock when Jesus replied to their advice, "You give them something to eat." "Who, us, Lord?" You can almost hear them saying this. "Who, us, Lord? We've not got any food except 5 small loaves and a couple of fish." At the same time, they've been with Jesus long enough to realize that it's important to do as their master asks. And although they see themselves as having nothing for the task Jesus is giving them, they hand over the bread and fish for him to bless. We need to see the feeding of the 5,000 as a lesson in discipleship. Christ did not feed the multitude without the contribution of the disciples. The bread did not come as manna from the sky, but through the trust that the disciples showed in undertaking the task of distribution. That's how it all happened, isn't it? If they hadn't been willing to obey, to actually do something, then the crowd would have gone hungry. This obedience of the disciples was pivotal to the miracle. Just as our obedience is important to the kingdom today, Christ takes our contribution, however modest, and makes it enough. Jesus' words to his disciples, "You give them something to eat," continues to challenge Christians today. We live in a world full of hungry people and pray that Jesus might do something. And he responds, "You do something, give them something to eat." And of course, the church has often risen to the challenge, providing food and clothing and shelter and medical care to people in the far corners of the world. It's interesting that the disciples respond to Jesus' instruction, "We have nothing here, nothing, nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. They emphasize not what they have, but what they haven't. They see not possibilities, but problems. Of course, their assessment is right on the mark. The loaves would have been small and you know, 2 fish. They might feed a small family. But the crowd stretches to the horizon. Not only have the disciples assessed the food supply rightly, but they've also have a point to make in their assessment of Jesus. He obviously needs someone to confront him, to bring him to his senses, to make him face reality. Send the crowds away, they say, so that they may go into the villages and buy food. Act now before this situation turns ugly. End the day on a positive note, Jesus. End it now." Frederick Bruner comments that the disciples' initial doubt of Jesus' ability brings them dangerously close to the sin in the wilderness generation of the people who followed Moses out of Egypt, who asked, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" We're always tempted to believe, as the disciples did, that we have nothing to offer in the face of overwhelming need. 5 loaves and 2 fish. "Bring them here to me," Jesus says. In the disciples' hands, 5 loaves and 2 fish are not much. But if Jesus can touch a leper and make him whole, perhaps he can make something of this meager food supply. Bruner says the disciples have added 5 and 2 and gotten 7. But they really need to count to 8. They need to include Jesus in their equation. This is an important thing for us to take into consideration today. We can often see our main task as that of keeping the doors open and the bills paid. That's what, you know, our primary concern as a church. How can we expect to do anything meaningful to relieve the world hunger or do something about the plight of refugees and asylum seekers or any number of horrendous problems? We say, "We have only a few dollars, not even enough for our own needs." Jesus says, "Bring them here to me." We too need to learn to count to 8. We need to remember that with Jesus, great and unexpected things are possible. But let's come back to our reading. Jesus orders the crowd to sit on the grass, and he looks up to heaven and blesses and breaks the loaves. Then he gives the bread to his disciples, who distribute it, and all eat and are filled. It's only when this has happened that we realize that anything special has happened. There's no mention of the wonderment on the part of the crowd. Perhaps they're unaware that a miracle has taken place. Nor is there any mention of wonderment on the part of the disciples. And they do know that Jesus has somehow multiplied this bit of food that they brought him. The story leaves us asking, what really happened? The obvious answer, of course, is that people in those days usually carried food with them. So when Jesus tells his disciples to feed the crowd, they begin to give away all of the little bit of food that they have. This is at least one explanation. And people rapidly become ashamed of their own selfishness and begin to bring what they have out of pockets and baskets to share with those around them. and soon everyone has sufficient and more. And all who are present know the smile of God is kind and full of compassion. You know, when I first heard that explanation, I didn't like it. I felt it detracted from who Jesus is. But the more I think about it, the better the explanation is. If it didn't happen that way, it should have. Because as we read the Gospels in context, a miracle is never the sole focus of an event, even though there's always a tendency to make it so. Rather, in every case, a miracle is used as a vehicle in teaching, either to illustrate or to vindicate. Jesus' miracles always have a significance not only to the one who is their recipient, but also for the group, the community as a whole. We have noted that at the beginning of our passage, it says that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. And then when the disciples noticed that it was getting dark, they were concerned. Now, this is really significant because Matthew's account of Jesus rarely mentions the emotional life and the language of the heart. Compassion means that Jesus stood alongside each person, feeling their feeling and hungering their hunger. Compassion is the warm language of the heart and gut, while concern is the cold voice of the logical brain. Concern says, send the people away. But compassion says, there's no need for them to go. Concern takes up causes, while compassion picks up people. Concern speaks at a safe distance, but compassion involves itself in the midst of pain. Jesus had compassion on the crowd, and he healed their sick. And then when he challenged his disciples to go beyond their concern, that the people be sent home because they're hungry, to go beyond that concern and to share the hunger of the people. It was then that a miracle of compassion could take place. If, as the disciples distributed the bread and the fish to the crowd, each time a little bit grew back, the event would have had significance only for those who were there on the day. Another hungry group would have to wait their turn, and that would lead only to an endless proliferation of miracles in order to supply a never-ending demand. And if the miracles didn't continue, God would be accused of blatant favoritism. You fed all these people, why aren't you feeding us? How much more significant for us if the disciples, challenged by Jesus, gave away the food they had, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and in doing so led the way to an outpouring of generosity from the whole group that was present that day, from that great crowd of people, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Now, that seems to me to be far more significant than for the same group as they hid the food they'd brought to be awestruck by the bread and fish doubling themselves so that they could have more. People ask, how can God allow so much hunger in the world and such inhumane conditions of life for so many? It's very true that it will take a huge miracle to feed everyone. But the name of that miracle is compassion. If we see the miracle of the loaves and the fishes simply as a supernatural occurrence, then an actual multiplication of what the disciples had, it's as though God was saying to the crowd then and to us today, even though you still probably have some goodies stashed away, you don't have to help those around you who are hungry. Because God will come and give everyone, including you, something to eat. But if we see that crowd moved by the example of the disciples into sharing what they had, If they see that and they know that that's what the teaching of God and Jesus is all about, that's what they learn from this. That is the real miracle, a miracle of real and lasting significance, a miracle for us to ponder in our hearts and to emulate in our lives. Amen.